KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. We're actually going to take some calls in the final half hour of the program. In this half hour, Harriet Hegeman will be on the program of Wyoming. She's running in the Republican primary against Never Trumper and Never Honest, in my view. That would be Dizzy Lizzy Cheney, who doesn't even get to Wyoming very much anymore. She does most of her fundraising in Northern Virginia, with the likes of Barbara Comstock and others, Romney. What can I tell you? People go to the dark side. I can't control that. Well, I saved this for this hour because you've been hearing about it, but you haven't heard from me. From the Daily Caller, Republican Myra Flores. You've heard this by now. She won this South Texas district. She won it by 13 points. Actually, the Democrats had carried it by 13 points. She held 51% of the support. The incumbent Democrat, Dan Sanchez, had 43.5%. It wasn't even close. And there were two other candidates on the ballot. One Democrat, one Republican. So she was able to avoid a runoff. She got 51% of the vote. That's a big deal. You know what's a bigger deal? A Republican hadn't won that congressional district, or its ilk, in 151 years. The district is 84% Hispanic on the Rio Grande Valley area. 84%. That's a big deal. And she ran on a pro-Trump conservative agenda. Not a Romney, McConnell, Britt, phony Republican agenda, a conservative agenda. Now, she's going to, the part of the problem is that this, all these districts have changed in Texas. Not so much a problem as a general matter, but she'll be running again in a somewhat different district against a Democrat. This was a special election. It'll be the new 34th district, and it leans 17 points toward the Democrats, according to 538. That's a blog site, 538. And so, it's still a little too early, but we are seeing movement now, aren't we? It's a funny thing. During the Black Lives Matter riots, I think, Mr. Producer, you might recall, I said, this is turning off a lot of people, blacks, whites, Asians, and Hispanics. A lot of people are not into the riots. They're not into the burning. They're not into the violence. They're not into defunding the cops. They're not into any of that. But a lot of people came to this country because they fled poverty. They fled corrupt governments. They fled the violence and the collusion between local police forces and violent drug gangs in Central and South America. They fled communism in Cuba and Nicaragua and other parts of the hemisphere. And so when they see and hear what the Democrat Party is doing, they reject it. A lot of people who came to this country came legally. And they don't appreciate what's being done because they have relatives they're trying to bring into this country legally, and it takes, if they follow the process, could take 10 years. So they're not sympathetic to this. And they also know among those coming across the border are criminals, kidnappers, sexual predators, drug cartel surrogates. And then finally, inflation cuts across all races, creeds, religions, and ethnicities. And they know who created this. They know who created this. And, of course, it wasn't Putin, even though Biden and the Putinoids suggest that it is because of Putin's war against Ukraine. So you see, the way it works is Putin's war against Ukraine has driven prices up because we didn't react by rolling over pretending it didn't happen. Once again, for the 4 billionth time, gas prices started going up long before Putin invaded Ukraine. Inflation kicked into gear long before Putin invaded Ukraine. So while the radical Democrats and the media and the Putinoids and their hemorrhoids all say the same thing, they're all full of crap. They're all full of crap. We were energy independent. We were wheat independent. We were corn independent. Now you might say, I know, but this has a worldwide effect. Well, what does that have to do with us doing anything? Who's cut Ukraine off on the Black Sea? We didn't do that. We didn't do that. And there are also reports where you won't hear this from the Putinoids with their hemorrhoids, that the Russians are stealing all the wheat that's being grown in Ukraine. Plus, ask any farmer, it's kind of tough to grow wheat when you're ducking shells from enemy fire. But the Putinoids, you know, the Putinoids and Biden agree on this. It's the most amazing thing, isn't it? No, Biden created this. The Democrats created this. His mouthpieces in the media, like everything else, cheered them on, and here we are. There's no excuse. No excuse. And the American people know it. Just as they know their classrooms are being destroyed by the same people. The border's being destroyed. All of it. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile are charging you a premium fee every month for data you don't even use. Folks, stop paying for things you don't use. Instead of paying $89 a month to your current provider, pay just $20 to Pure Talk for what you actually need. I made the switch. And I'll be honest, I was nervous at first thinking, is the coverage really going to be that good? Am I going to drop calls? Is the internet going to be slow? I can tell you firsthand, the 5G service is fantastic. Switching to Pure Talk was that easy. So don't sit on the fence and be ripped off by these greedy corporatists. It's time to take the leap and start saving money every month. There's many ways you can do it. This is another one. Just dial #250 and say Mark Levin, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. With Pure Talk's no-risk money-back guarantee, you're not going to regret this. Folks, dial #250, say Mark Levin, sign up, and save an additional 50% your first month. That's #250, say Mark Levin. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
This is your Mortgage Minute, brought to you by Mortgage Matt with Megastar Financial.
Hey, Mortgage Matt here with Megastar Financial. Now is an amazing time to buy. Interest rates have been lower than they have ever been, but the thing that's different about this refinance boom is house prices are up and they're continuing to appreciate. For every 1% that interest rates go down, you qualify for 10% more on your buying power. In the midst of this digital age, there is still great value in having a person that can hear about your situation and come up with the best mortgage plan, loan type for your particular circumstance. There is great value in meeting with a lender who is local that you can meet with face-to-face. Please feel free to give me a call. I'd love to set up a time to meet and figure out the best game plan for your situation.
To learn more about your home buying options, contact Mortgage Matt. Call 999-9000, Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage lender. NMLS 1162668.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
These are trying times, folks. The very freedom secured by our Constitution is under attack by the most extreme leftists our nation has ever seen. But there are plenty of patriots with the courage to stand up to these people, and there's an easy way for you to learn more. Join AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. AMAC members have access to money-saving benefits and discounts, a robust website, a mobile app featuring daily content from the AMAC newsline writers, and a magazine filled with insightful original content. Like me, AMAC delivers what the mainstream media won't, the truth. With well over 2 million freedom-loving members, AMAC is a voice for conservatives that cannot be ignored. So join AMAC for the benefits and discounts. Join AMAC for the information, and most importantly, join AMAC because America needs you. Stay informed with me and over 2 million others by joining today. Visit AMAC.us, that's AMAC.us, AMAC.us.
I don't know about you, but I am planning to scream and run.
He's back on the Mark Levin Radio Show.
Well, it's a pleasure to have Harriet Hageman with me this evening. She's running in the Republican primary in Wyoming against Liz Cheney. How are you, Harriet?
I am wonderful, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. I'll do better if you actually win that primary. When is the primary again?
It is August 16th, and early voting starts on July 1.
When's the last time Cheney was in Wyoming for, say, a three-day period? Does anybody even know?
Oh, gosh, I don't know that anyone could identify a period of time when Liz Cheney would have been in Wyoming for three solid days. I couldn't answer that question. I'm not sure anybody else could.
What has she been doing lately, given the high rate of inflation and fuel? Wyoming is an awfully big state, so people need a lot of fuel. What has she been doing lately to try and help out the people of Wyoming? Do you know?
Absolutely nothing. The only thing that she's been doing lately is pursuing a political vendetta against President Trump and helping the Democrats to deflect attention from the disastrous policies of this administration and Nancy Pelosi. And it's not just that it's a big state. We're one of the largest oil and gas producers in the nation. We're the largest coal producer in the nation. Fossil fuels are absolutely critically important to our ability to provide services. They provide good paying jobs. She's done nothing for Wyoming. She's focusing on the swamp issues in Washington, D.C.
And that's a big deal. You're not California with 1,200 representatives. You know, you need your representative to actually say something. And she's spending all this time on this cockamamie committee appointed by Nancy Pelosi. Are you concerned about all...
Go ahead,
I'm sorry.
And I go even one step further. I think that she's actually muted from being able to say anything because she's so aligned with the Democrats right now, she can't come out and criticize Joe Biden or come out and attack him for what he's doing to our country and to our state. She's so deeply embedded with them, she has to stay aligned with them. She works with them every single day. So she's actually picked which side she's on, and it's not ours.
Mm-hmm. And why did she get elected in the first place? Was it basically because of her name? I mean, she has spent most of her career and life in and around Washington, D.C., and is that what she hopes will carry her through again?
I think so, and I think that that is what happened. I think that's clearly what happened is her name. She came back here, and she's articulate. You know, she can sell a good story. But one of the things that you realize about Liz Cheney is that Liz always very much limits her interaction with people on the campaign, always has. So in contrast, I do two and a half hour town halls, where I will do an opening statement, give some information about my background, and I'll answer right questions for 2 hours. Liz Cheney has never campaigned that way. What she'll do is she comes in, visits with a few people, she'll talk for maybe 15 minutes, and then they'll say, well, we've got another event, we've got to get on from here. Or she will only go to a home where there are two or three or four people, maybe five people. She only exposes herself in a very controlled way, and she's always done that. But when she does come to the state, she'll go to the radio station or she'll go to the TV station and make it appear that she's out meeting with voters and she's out at town halls and she's out and having roundtable discussions. And, oh, I was just meeting with some constituents yesterday and I was just talking to the people in Casper last week, and makes it sound and kind of does. It's almost a bait and switch. It's an appearance of her being here, but it's not the reality of her being here.
Now, she had a hate-on for Donald Trump long before January 6th, didn't she? Any rumor about him she would embrace. And I think the Republican Party, even before this committee, had enough of her, which is why they voted her out of the leadership position. I don't ever remember that happening. I mean, isn't that pretty much the case? She just has had a hate-on, another Trumper, since day one.
You know, it's interesting, and she tries to embrace being a conservative, and people will say, well, she voted with President Trump 92% of the time. But the things that really counted were the things that she opposed him, and she opposed him hard on. So where I started really questioning what was going on with Liz Cheney was about 6 months before the November 2020 election, when she came out and embraced the idea that there were Russian bounties on our soldiers in Afghanistan. Now, that story was eventually debunked, which most of the allegations and accusations against President Trump are. By that time, most of us recognized that whatever story the press was peddling, all you needed to do was wait a week, 10 days, 7 days, 4 days, whatever it was, and it would be proven to be untrue. They did it over and over and over again. Now, the Russian collusion narrative took longer to debunk, but a lot of the other things, truly, it was a matter of a news cycle, and then we were like, oh, yeah, that was just another lie. And she knew that, too, but she came out and embraced that and attacked him in a way that was very, very aggressive, and I thought very much directed at that 2020 election. And I started really questioning what she was doing. I just never had an opportunity to ask her about it because she doesn't come back to Wyoming to talk to her constituents. So there were some things that absolutely she has had some a real challenge to President Trump for a long time, even before the 2020 election.
How's your reception in Wyoming as taking on Liz Cheney at the grassroots level?
Oh, my gosh, Mark. You cannot believe the reaction that we're having here in Wyoming. We had Donald Trump Jr. here last night and this morning. We had an event at 9 o'clock on a weekday in a town of 650 people. There were 200 people that showed up and stayed for an hour and a half.
Wow.
I mean, it has been rocking and rolling. Our signs all over the state, people in the restaurants that we're interacting with and meeting with, people are so incredibly excited about the election. We have more volunteers. You can't even believe the number of volunteers that we have, the number of people who are walking doors, the number of people who are out there. They want to buy radio advertisements. They're just doing everything they can. They drive around their communities with our signs on top of their cars. I mean, the excitement and the people have just really embraced us and embraced the message that we're presenting, the message of hope and excitement, all of the things that are happening in Wyoming. It is just, it's been an incredible spring and people are really, really, really excited for us. And people, anybody who wants to go and learn more about me, make donations. She's got a $7 million war chest, that sort of thing. But they can go to HagemanForWyoming.com. They can learn more. They can see our writings. They can listen to our interviews with you. Every time I'm on your program, Mark, you cannot believe the reaction I get. Everybody in the state loves you. They know that you are a
wonderful
constitutional scholar. They have so much respect for you. And when I'm on your program, I probably get more comments than almost anything else. So I so appreciate you giving me the opportunity to visit with you.
You're very kind. Maybe I'll move there if you get elected. You never know. And by the way,
I'd love to have you.
Well, I've never been there. I should go there. It's HagemanForWyoming.com, America. That's HagemanForWyoming.com. So if people want to help with money or help volunteers and so forth and so on, $7 million in a state like Wyoming, she's getting a lot of big-time outside money, establishment money, isn't she?
Well, I think that this last, since I got into this race, less than 3% of her money has come from folks in the state of Wyoming. So that gives you an idea. She's aligned with the Mitt Romney side of the crowd. She's aligned. I always refer to them as the Manage the Decline Party. She's part of the Manage the Decline Party. They're just managing the decline. They're being very pleasant about it, and they're nice when they say hello to you and things like that. But really what they're doing is managing the decline of this country. You know, when the Democrats take the steps that they do that create the horrific inflation that we're seeing, the problem with our border, the illegal immigration on the border, flooding of our country with fentanyl, they are all very pleasant when they talk about those things, but they really don't do very much against the Democrats to fight back against. And the people out here are fed up. They are fed up with the policies, they're fed up with what they're doing, and they're fed up with people like Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney.
Well, I've endorsed you strongly. I think you'd be a fantastic congressperson, especially for Wyoming, and we need you in the country. That's HagemanForWyoming.com. Please vote for her. And God bless you. We'll probably have you back before August. Take care of yourself.
I hope so, Mark. Thank you so much.
You bet. I'll be right back. Did you read where the Arizona real estate agent found the home she lived in listed for sale? The problem was she wasn't selling her home. She was the victim of home title fraud, a devastating crime happening all over the country. According to the experts at Home Title Lock, the crime is incredibly profitable and hard to detect. An identity thief simply creates a fake title transfer for your home and refiles as the new owner. Then he can take out loans on your home or sell it. Typical identity theft services don't cover you, and neither does homeowners insurance. Home Title Lock does. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title. The instant they detect anyone tampering with your home's title, they help shut it down and help get your home back in your name. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and read the testimonials. Then register your address to see if you're already a victim and don't even know it. And when you protect your home, tell them Mark Levin sent you and you'll get 30 free days of protection. HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, using only the finest dark, oily broadleaf Maduro wrappers paired with a rich blend of Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos. This is a stick on the full side. An effortless draw brings out the wonderfully layered notes of espresso, black pepper, and cedar. Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
The popular Big Daddy Burger is back at Black Bear Diner. This massive burger sports two 10-ounce patties and a 6-inch sesame seed bun. Add two onion rings, a fried egg, bacon, cheese, pickles, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and dressing. And, well, you've got a burger challenge. This month, only at Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Redding.
Black Bear Diner.
Cinerama presents Bruised by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, June 17th. Join us at the Sundial Bridge for craft beers, live music, food, games, and much more. Tickets are on sale now and include commemorative steel cup and your first beer free. $30 for pre-sale and Turtle Bay members and $35 at the gate for this 21 and over event. All proceeds go to Turtle Bay education programs and exhibition. Brews by the Bridge at Turtle Bay, Friday, June 17th. Get your tickets today and learn more at turtlebay.org.
Video history and everything you do when you click on and then selling your personal data without your knowledge and without your permission. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, a unique identifier that every device has that allows big tech to match your activity back to you. So they hide it so big tech can't penetrate it. Using ExpressVPN makes it difficult for them to exploit your data for their own profits. Just one tap is all it takes. And then you're protected online, your privacy, your confidentiality. This is genius. Protect yourselves. Visit expressvpn.com/mark and get 3 months free. That's expressvpn.com/mark, expressvpn.com/mark. Let's go to Michael. Los Angeles, California, XM Satellite, Michael, California, where the price averages $6.60 a gallon, I'm told. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, Mark. Love the show. Catch it whenever I can. Yeah, I live in Ridgecrest, California, which is 150 miles north of Los Angeles. But anyway, I was on a vacation driving down to Mexico. And on my way, I have to pass through two border towns. On this side, it's Calexico. On the other side, it's Mexicali. The price in Calexico was about $6.25. And the price in Mexicali was about $3.75. And allowing for 75 cents in taxes, which they don't charge in Mexico, that leaves about a $1.75 discrepancy. And I'm wondering what you think about that.
Well, first of all, here's what I think about it. That this whole notion that prices are where they are in the United States because of Vladimir Putin is a lie. That's number one. Number two, I suspect that they don't have the kinds of taxes and regulations in Mexico on the oil industry or the provision of oil that we have in our states and in the United States. Remember, they get whacked by states, they get whacked by localities, and they get whacked by the feds, and it's all passed on to us. The idea that you can pay less in Mexico than in the United States when we were energy independent just 18 months ago is really appalling. Absolutely appalling. So that's what I think of it. It demonstrates the lie of the argument by the Putinoids, who say, you know, if we wouldn't put sanctions on Putin, the price wouldn't be so high. So not only do they oppose providing arms to the Ukrainians, they oppose sanctions on the Russians, who are slaughtering the Ukrainians. And when they're done, they intend to move through Ukraine into the Eastern Bloc. That's what Putin wrote, effectively. So now for them, even sanctions are too much. But it has nothing to do with Putin. Your example proves it. It's everything to do with Biden, the Democrats, and what they're doing to our economic system here. Go ahead.
Yeah, that sounds very plausible. Yeah, they probably don't have all the regulations that we do, and they certainly don't have the taxes on every gallon of gas that they pump.
Now, keep something in mind. There's federal taxes. You have state taxes. Then you have all kinds of regulatory taxes. Ask the truck drivers how much in taxes they have to pay to move from one part of the country to another, to just move the fuel. It is endless, and it is repetitive, taxing the same thing over and over and over again. But a lot of it's hidden, and that's what I'm talking about when it comes to the what the government does to these companies and so forth that are passed on to us. All right, Michael, thanks for your call, my friend. Appreciate it. Let's keep going. Sandy, Pueblo, Colorado, the great KVOR. Go right ahead.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for taking my call. I can't even watch the news anymore because the sight of I can't even stand the sight of Biden. But I heard him on a news clip yelling at us like we were idiots and nincompoops, and it really frosted me and then got me to thinking that kids learn from their parents. They learn everything from their parents. And in my opinion, the Democrat left-wing green fanatics need to put their money where their mouths are and just convert the entirety of Washington, D.C. to solar and wind, the White House, the Pentagon, all the federal buildings, all businesses and residences requiring all the residents to convert to electric vehicles, the public transit system, buses, L's or subways or whatever they have there, and then even the military, the war vehicles, war planes, jets, ships and subs. Just show us people how easy it is, how economical it is, because the savings will justify the initial expenditure very quickly, right? Then, when the entirety of America can see how easy it is, we'll all fall in line and implement these green changes. And it just makes me mad. Our leaders, our politicians, our reps should have been demanding that Biden keep our energy independence until Washington, D.C. is green. And I don't know why no one has made this demand.
Well, you can make the demand. They're certainly not going to do it because Washington, D.C. doesn't create anything except redistribution of wealth, a welfare state, taxes, regulations, and poverty. That's all. So they don't know how to do anything. They're relying on the very private sector that they destroy. That's number one. Number two, there is no transition guidelines or blueprint for anything. They just feel if they destroy enough of the economy, if they destroy enough of the middle class, and they keep talking about Green New Deal and clean energy and the oil companies are standing in the way, then they'll be able to have enormous power in the federal government. They'll be able to have enormous power over the economy as we all get poorer and poorer and poorer. They take no responsibility for the anarchy, for the poverty, for the economic dislocation that they create. None. I mean, they were proud of it before, remember? They were going to drive up the cost of electricity and gasoline, and that's how we'll move into a new economy. You're talking about Obama, community activist who doesn't know how to sharpen a pencil. You're talking about Biden, who they won't allow to even handle a sharp pencil, just in case. You're talking about people who know nothing about the private sector. Zippo, except that they hate it. Thank you for your call, Sandy. I appreciate it. They don't know how pencils made. We've done that before. Mr. Peter, do we have that somewhere? Let's see if we can find it. Let's take another call here, shall we? Yes, yes, yes. Dean in New York, the Mark Levin app, Utica, New York. Go right ahead.
Hello. Hello, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate
yes, sir.
It. I appreciate everything you do.
Everything? Thank you.
Everything. But Biden, you know, I respect the presidency, you know, but it hurts, you know, me to say bad things about him, you know, and all that, but he shouldn't be yelling. I mean, other children hear that, and then they ended up yelling, you know. But also regarding
the electric cars, at the American people. What kind of a president starts yelling at the American people? Don't tell me this! And it's like he's absolutely lost it all, whatever little wits he had left.
He talks down to everybody. Like, it doesn't make any sense, you know. And then he wants everyone to go on to electric cars. They know that they can't populate the world at all electric cars and all that. They know it's impossible. All they got to do is say it nice. Hey, get an electric car. It'll help out. You know what I mean? But no, that ain't going to happen.
No. He's got an iron fist. You know, he's not going to use a mitten. All right, my friend. Appreciate your call, Dean. You sound like a very, very kind man. Thank you. Let's go to Blake, Fresno, California, XM Satellite, as we move from one end of the country to the other. Go right ahead.
We're on the crazy side of the country now. I just wanted to bring up, when they talk about this clean energy, whatever it is that they imagine, when they talk about this, they still have this massive need to spread energy across the country. And so to make their dream come true, they have to cut down a bunch of trees for power poles, boil them in oil to pressure treat them. If they want to do underground infrastructure, That requires PVC conduit, which is made out of petro-pearls. And even the steel for steel power poles and the steel lines, that's coal. It's coal and iron ore that's melted together to make your steel. So everything that they want to do requires oil, lumber, mm-hmm. and coal, and rubber. And then if you want to go throw rubber on there for the tires for their heavy vehicles that they want to roll around that cause the tires to wear faster, rubber, you know, every single thing
you
that
really know
do,
this stuff. What do you do?
I'm in the steel trade. I do steel sales.
If you're in the steel trade, I have a question for you. When they make plates to go in the heads of a Democrat, what material is made out of them? They make those plates.
I believe it comes from the rear end of a cow.
There you go.
You know.
All right, Blake. Thanks for your call. I will be right back.
Mark Levin.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive presale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Light, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Listen up.
Listen up.
What? The Mark Levin Show is on the air.
I am ready to start the show.
There have been 23 pro-life organizations vandalized, firebombed, or otherwise attacked by pro-abortion activists in recent weeks. 23. You haven't heard the Attorney General say anything. You haven't heard the President say anything. And you haven't heard anything but the conservative media say anything. In addition to a threat on the life of a Supreme Court justice appointed by Trump. But let's talk about January 6 over and over and over and over again on national TV. Pro-life organizations literally, physically, violently being attacked across the country. Are they investigating certain groups behind it? They're not arresting people on the in the front of the homes and around the neighborhoods of these justices. I'm telling you, this is just so completely out of control. I want to go to Donna, Washington, Pennsylvania, XM Satellite. Donna, how are you? Yellow. Well, Mr. Call Screener, I don't hear Donna.
I'm good.
All right, Donna, what's cooking?
Well, I just said tonight we were out for our dinner, and it's 93 degrees in Pittsburgh, which is not unusual sometimes of the year. And all of a sudden, it's so hot in the restaurant, and all of the manager can say to us is that, well, it's so hot out, and it's just the air conditioner can't keep up. And I believe that the rolling brownouts and blackouts, I think they're trying to make sure we get used to this because they've been telling us it's coming, and we felt it tonight.
Well, here's the thing. If there was a rolling brownout or blackout, it would affect more than one building, though. So yeah. it could honestly be that his system can't handle it and that they can't afford to do a damn thing about it.
Yeah, well,
all right, my friend, I appreciate your call. It's the final week for Genesel's summer blowout sale. Now, save over 60% on Genesel's most popular package at genesel.com/mark. That's genucel.com/mark. Get two free gifts with your order. Your order will include Genesel's Dark Spot Corrector to visibly reduce those pesky dark sunspots free. And Genesel's immediate effects results in as little as 12 hours. Now, Genesel's Dark Spot Corrector uses special peptides to visibly reduce the appearance of dark spots, age spots, and yes, even sunspots that summer leaves behind. And that's also included in your most popular package today. So Genesel guarantees results or your money back. That is a big deal. And sign up for Genesel's best-in-class rewards program at checkout for an extra 10% off and complimentary gift set. Go to genesel.com/mark and enter promo code MARK at checkout for an extra discount and free shipping. genucel.com/mark and enter promo code MARK. Bill, Sacramento, California, listening on the KSFO station or thereabouts. Go ahead, Bill. Ooh, we have these delays here. How are you, Bill? Go ahead,
Duke?
Bill. What, Duke?
Duke.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, I'm Duke. How you doing?
Hey, Duke.
Yeah.
My name is Duke from Sacramento.
Oh, you're Duke from Sacramento.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got Bill from Sacramento. Duke, how may I help you?
Hey, Mark, I was talking to the garbage man. It was garbage day yesterday.
Right.
They want to start doing electric garbage trucks. And have you ever noticed a garbage truck, Mark? All of the workings on a garbage truck?
A whole lot.
Pencil.
Yeah.
A whole lot. And this guy was laughing. He was just, he said they can't make enough batteries to run a garbage truck. Just one garbage truck. They'd have to be charging them up, 30 times a day just to get from one end of the street to the next.
So stupid.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, just to get the power to the hydraulics.
Yeah, well, maybe they ought to put Biden's limo, which is heavy like a Sherman tank. Maybe they'd try that, put an electric, make that an electric vehicle and start there before they do the trucks. Seriously.
Yeah.
Why not? Let them show by example.
Yep. Yes.
And while we're at it, he can wear battery-operated socks to stay warm. He can wear a propeller on his head when he gets hot, like one of those little solar propellers. You know, do what he needs to do. Walk around in Bermuda shorts all the time. And then put pads on the walls so, you know, he doesn't hurt himself. All right, Duke, thank you for your call. How'd you get Bill from Duke anyway, guys? I don't know. It's happy hour. Luis, Little Rock, Arkansas, the great K-A-R-N, home of the great Tom Cotton. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mark.
You got it.
I feel that the Mexicans are not the evil people. Biden and the Democrat politicians...
Well, hold on. Who said they were?
Well, wait. Biden and the Democrats are the evil people because they are ignoring the immigration laws of this country. And not only that, but
that's
they invited
true.
And facilitated the immigrants to break our laws.
That's true, too. And not just from Mexico, even though people are coming through Mexico, from all over the world, from other continents. People are coming here, and Biden won't even go to the border to look at his handiwork. He'll fly all the way to Saudi Arabia, pretend he's not going there to beg them for oil. And here we have border crises. He won't go. The vice president won't go. Eva Pelosi won't go. Schumer, none of them are going. What happened to all those caged children? What happened to all the sex trafficking? The fentanyl, all the rest, don't they want to see with their own free eyes? Thank you for your call, my friend. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, our trucker friends, our brothers and sisters in Ukraine who are under assault. And I will see you tomorrow. Be well and God bless.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, using only the finest dark, oily broadleaf Maduro wrappers paired with a rich blend of Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos. This is a stick on the full side. An effortless draw brings out the wonderfully layered notes of espresso, black pepper, and cedar. Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt.
My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. President Biden has signed an LGBT executive order in response to legislative actions in several Republican-controlled states. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Declaring pride is back at the White House, the president used a Pride Month ceremony to sign an executive order.
My order will use the full force of the federal government prevent inhumane practices of conversion therapy.
The order also promotes gender-affirming surgery and expanded foster care protections for LGBT parents and children. Mr. Biden boasted that he has more LGBT people working in his administration than in every other administration combined. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Two U.S. veterans from Alabama in Ukraine assisting the war effort against Russia have gone missing. Correspondent Ben Thomas reports.
The men are 27-year-old Andy Ty Wynn of Trinity, Alabama, a former Marine, and 39-year-old Alexander Druk of Tuscaloosa. Congressman Robert Adderholt says Wynn had volunteered to go fight with the Ukrainian army, but relatives haven't heard from him since June 8th, when he was in the Kharkiv region in Ukraine's northeast. An aide adds Wynn and Druk were together. If confirmed, the pair would be the first Americans known to have been captured fighting for Ukraine. And Thomas, Washington.
The first COVID-19 shots for infants, toddlers, and preschoolers in the U.S. have moved a step closer. An advisory panel for the Food and Drug Administration gave a thumbs up Wednesday to vaccines from Moderna and Pfizer for children under five. It's the only age group not yet eligible for vaccines against the coronavirus. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 303 points. The NASDAQ rose 270. The S&P advanced 54. Oil down $3.62 to $115.31 a barrel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Free speech, religious liberty, the Second Amendment. Across the country, your constitutional rights are under constant attack, and it's only getting worse by the day, which is why I am proud to support Patriot Mobile. They're not just America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider, they're one of the few companies fighting back. They offer the same nationwide coverage as the major carriers, so you get the same great service, plus the peace of mind that your money is combating the left's attempt to silence you. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, and our veteran and first responder heroes. Go to patriotmobile.com/Gorka or call 972-PATRIOT. Free activation with the offer code G-O-R-K-A. Veterans and first responders save even more. Between the left, the media, and the rhinos, we need to stick together. patriotmobile.com/G-O-R-K-A or call 972-PATRIOT.
In other news, heavy rain in China has claimed at least 6 lives this week and forced the evacuation of some 200,000 people. Correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
Video on state broadcaster CCTV has shown large parts of cities flooded in muddy waters and rescue workers carrying trapped people out of buildings on their backs in waist-deep water in Guangdong province in the southeast. State media has reported 5 deaths in the region. A house collapse took 3 lives, while 2 perished in a landslide. China regularly experiences seasonal rains and flooding during the summer, most frequently in central and southern areas. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Automakers reported nearly 400 crashes of vehicles with partially automated driver assist systems, including 273 involving Teslas. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. UPS goes back to the future with its latest delivery vehicle, the E-Quad, as we hear from correspondent Julie Walker in New York.
It has a horn, it's brown, has the UPS logo, and carries packages, but it's not a truck.
It's funny looking, but it's probably good for the city, right? You don't have to block up the whole road, but
Like, that's not going to take a lot of packages. That's probably one building's worth of deliveries.
New Yorker Ian Lagowitz found out it's an e-quad, a pedal-assist four-wheel electric cargo bike, like a mini slender version of the truck that UPS worker Dighton Anderson was using to deliver packages in Times Square.
It's still pretty maneuverable. Like, it can still get to in between cars if you need it.
There's only one being tested in the U.S. for now, and that's here. UPS says it's meant for dense urban areas. In Times Square, I'm Julie Walker.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets, and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Our lives must be fine, freedom.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed. It's time to embrace American values. Our society is based on the freedom, not begging the government for permission. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Come check out my show every other Sunday, 8 to 9, Liberty Unabashed.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Cinerama presents Brews by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, June 17th. Join us at the Sundial Bridge for craft beers, live music, food, games, and much more. Tickets are on sale now and include commemorative steel cup and your first beer free. $30 for pre-sale and Turtle Bay members and $35 at the gate for this 21 and over event. All proceeds go to Turtle Bay education programs and exhibitions. Brews by the Bridge at Turtle Bay, Friday, June 17th. Get your tickets today and learn more at turtlebay.org.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Riverfront Playhouse presents Proof by David Auber and directed by Samantha Fork, June 3rd through June 18th. Proof is the story of a young woman who has been spending the last few years caring for her brilliant but unstable father. Proof explores loss, love, genius, mental illness, fear, trust, relationships, and the breaking points we push each other to. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the store reading and at the door. Riverfront Playhouse presents Proof, June 3rd through June 18th. Sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA. Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
By reading a lot of novels in a variety of genres and asking questions, it's possible to learn how things are done, the mechanics of writing, so to speak, and which genres and authors excel in various areas. Nicholas Sparks.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Our question for today in our continued Frequently Asked Questions series is, how do you know which genre your book is in?
See, the book I'm writing right now has magic, but it also takes place on Earth, and some of the problems are solved by a character falling in love, and most of the stuff that happens is action-based, where people are sword fighting and trying to kill each other. So is it fantasy? Is it historical? Is it romance? Or is it action-adventure?
Swords and sorcery.
Which is a subcategory of...
fantasy. Which is a subcategory of speculative fiction.
Which is a subcategory of fiction.
So, as you can see, there is a lot of things in genre. But there are a couple of questions that you can ask yourself to help you narrow down what genre your book is in.
Before we get into that, I want to make sure you, our audience, knows why this question is important. Well, I'm not asking this question. I know what genre my book is in. Or I don't care what genre my book is in. It's very dangerous for people who want to be career authors. If all you are doing is writing selfishly, you don't have to worry about genre. You have fun. We'll see you next episode. But if you ever want to sell any of your books, understanding your genre, understanding which shelf the bookstore puts it on, helps sell your book. Because if I am looking for an action-adventure novel, and I have to sift through cookbooks, then I'm not going to be as interested.
So if you want to know why you need to know, go back in our archives and search for target audience. We've talked about that before in an episode, I believe, in July. You can also look at our series from last March when we talked specifically about genres. We covered the basic ones, some of the specifics of, you know, cover design and plot of each of those. Today, though, we're not focusing on those aspects. We're just focusing on how to figure out what genre you're in.
Yeah, if you don't know which of March's episodes to look at to make sure it applies to your book, this is the right episode to start on.
So what is the first question that you need to ask yourself in order to figure out what genre you're in?
Is my book fiction or nonfiction? Fiction is defined as more or less false. Something that did not happen, you are not trying to convince anybody that it did happen. I am not trying to convince anybody that there is a conspiracy of vigilantes in my hometown. Nobody is trying to be sold on that idea. But if there were, here's a fun story that surrounds them. Nonfiction would be more of your self-help, your biography.
Memoirs. So if it actually happened, or if it's almost all based on true story, you are writing nonfiction. If you are writing fantastical things that you made up in your head, or things that are loosely based on what actually happened, you are writing fiction.
Technically, fairy tales and allegories fall into the fiction category. Those are the ones that you want people to understand and think about, but they aren't something that actually happened.
A sub question of fiction or nonfiction is, what's the age range of the book? Are you writing for children? Are you writing for middle grade? Are you writing for young adults? Are you writing for adults?
Understanding that helps the bookstore put the book in the right location. Because if I'm writing about cats that all have this secret life after they leave the house in the morning, they go out and have adventures and then they come back home and then sleep in their beds, your kids might love that story.
Your adults, not so much.
They're not going to be as intrigued, mostly because the stakes aren't terribly high. It's a cat.
So the fun thing with age range is it becomes more vague the older you get. Because you have adults who like to read YA. But you don't have many, you know, 5-year-olds who like to read Tolkien.
Yeah, I think it was Lewis who said, anybody can write a book targeted for adults, but it takes a specially skilled author to write something for children.
Yes. So look at that. Then move on to your next questions.
The next big question you have to ask yourself is, when and where is your book set? So if your book is set in Redding, California, in the year 2020, okay, we've eliminated a whole bunch of genre by saying that particular information. We know it's probably not going to be fantasy, might be urban fantasy. We know it's not likely to be sci-fi, it's not likely to be a western.
It's definitely not going to be historical.
If it takes place in the near future on Mars, understanding the setting, the location, will tell you it's going to be probably a hard science sci-fi.
It could be a soft science sci-fi, but definitely sci-fi.
If it's in the near future, more often than not, it's hard science. If it was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away,
it's fantasy sci-fi.
Yep. The softest of sci-fis.
So sometimes people can get a little bit confused about the fantasy and the sci-fi here, because the where isn't so different. The location could be a completely fictional place, a planet somewhere that doesn't exist, that things happen on that planet. So the difference of where with fantasy and sci-fi isn't so different. It's whether it's magical and problems are solved with magic, or whether it's technological and problems are solved with technology. And that goes into our next question, is what's the problem?
We've mentioned before, a story is a problem and its solution. If you don't know what the problem of your story is,
You don't have a story.
Your story should have both an internal and an external problem if you're following the hero's journey map. But if the story is my character is lonely and then at the end they fall in love, that's going to tell you about the genre that I'm writing. If the character is in danger and they find safety at the end, that's going to tell you about the genre that I'm writing. That's clearly an adventure story. We are talking about the main big problem in your story. This is how you define your genre.
Subplots are different. You can have a fantasy novel with a romance subplot, but your actual genre is the main problem, which is the world is ending. And they happen to fall in love in the process, so it's romance subplot subgenre.
But the world ending is the problem that's being solved. Understanding this about your own book will help you define the final elements of your genre.
So let's look at some very specific genres. So you have the main headers. You have fiction. Under that, you have fantasy, romance, sci-fi, action, thriller, horror, suspense, mystery, young adult.
Basically everything except for our nonfiction episode in March.
But you have smaller genres in that, subcategories of every single one of these that can really help you hone in on your target audience to make sure you're finding the right ones. Go to Amazon. This list is huge.
So for our notes, I figured, okay, well, because Amazon is one of the world's largest book retailers, I would go and see what their lists are, what their genres are. I just pulled from the fiction section because most of our audience are fiction authors in some way. We have 3 pages of different kinds of genre and some of the subcategories under that would still be your main genre. So Toxic, your book, is
technically mystery is its main genre and it has a couple of subcategories. I've actually realized it's not so cozy because it's less humorous than most other cozy mysteries. You definitely have the woman sleuths. You have a little bit of the cozy mystery because cozy mysteries have the amateur sleuth aspect. The main character usually has a hobby or a profession that isn't actually police related. So it's cozy mystery, it's woman sleuths, it's general mystery.
You have a little bit of crime in there also, I think, because you do have the law enforcement character.
That is true.
I would put crime as sort of a subgenre, because he is not the one solving the mystery. He is there to kind of help out and arrest the bad guys when the time comes. Okay, and give her a place that's fairly safe when she's being stalked by a psycho serial spree killer.
And that's the other subgenre of mine. Is romance. I do have a clean romance subcategory, subgenre in Toxic.
So my current work in progress would fall under the alternative history, and then probably historical fantasy would be my second category in that. Because it takes place on Earth in the year 1521. It has stuff happening that you can reference in other books in fact-based around that time period. But it's clearly not something that actually happened. Magic is involved. Alternate history.
Just to throw out some other genres, subgenres, you have the coming-of-age stories that are very popular in the younger YA groups. In romance, you have anything from contemporary to paranormal to rom-coms to Western romances.
So if you want to look up this list, it's massive. I don't think we need to put it on the landing page. You can find it on Amazon and all of their books. And if you are looking for more books like yours, trying to figure out what the cover style is, who to connect with, which ones are selling well, searching your genre in any bookseller will help inform you about what the audiences are looking for in that genre.
Amazon also has a lot of tips for how to select your genre. The biggest thing is be accurate. As specific and accurate as you can get, the better off you're going to be.
Because honestly, if I'm looking for a book about some guy who's kicking butt and taking names and dispensing justice that the law can't, I don't want to find your Christian allegory in that collection. So if you're writing a Christian allegory, don't check every box. Amazon won't let you anyway. But if you check every box, because then you'll show up on every list, you're going to get the wrong kind of reader. The next that goes along with be accurate is be specific. The more you can pinpoint exactly what kind of genre you are, the better off you can be, and the smaller the list you'll appear on, so you're going to appear highest to the top.
And then don't be redundant. When you are selecting those subcategories, you don't need to pick fantasy historical and simply fantasy. Either go all the way down the rest of that line to a different subcategory.
Be specific.
Or don't do it at all. So let's go through this process, kind of helping walk you through how to figure out your genre. I'm going to think of a book, and Lee is going to ask me those questions and guess what category it's in.
So just a quick recap, fiction or nonfiction, what's your setting, what's the problem? So you're thinking of a book, I'm doing my David Copperfield fingers where I'm reading your mind. Is your book fiction or nonfiction?
Fiction. I don't really read nonfiction.
What is the target age range for your book?
YA.
Where is it set?
It's kind of a complicated question. Different world, but is connected with ours.
Is it set anywhere in our timeline?
Yes.
When?
Modern.
What is the character's problem that they're solving?
Defeat the Witch of the Waste.
So we have fiction, YA, alternate reality to now, defeating the bad guy. So that sounds like an urban fantasy to me.
Kind of. It's not our world, it's connected to our world.
Okay, what is it?
I would call it more contemporary fantasy than urban fantasy, because urban fantasy tends to be your werewolves, vampires, that kind of thing. This is part of its modern time, but it has the very fantasy feel to it. So for those of you who are wondering, I was thinking of the book Howl's Moving Castle, where they live in a place called Ingerie, which is kind of like a different world England, but there's a connection to modern day Wales. Now we're flipping this. I am asking the questions. She has a book in mind, and I'm going to see if I can guess what genre it's in. Specific genre. Not just, hey, yeah, that sounds like fantasy. So, fiction or nonfiction?
Fiction.
Age range?
New adult.
Setting?
English countryside.
When is it?
About the year 1800.
What's the problem?
She needs to get married to save her family.
Alternate history.
Not that one. I know which one you're thinking of. It's not that one. That's the Scottish countryside, dear.
No, I was thinking Pride and Prejudice and zombies.
I didn't have the zombies in there, but yes, Pride and Prejudice.
Okay.
I thought you were thinking Outlander. That's a different one.
No, different countryside. You said 1800s, but it was like save the family, and my head went to, yep, definitely zombies.
I'm okay with that.
So the actual category for Pride and Prejudice would be historical romance. Not historical at the time it was written, but for us today, definitely historical romance.
So with these questions being answered, you should be able to put your book in a category. I'm not suggesting you put your book in a box. I'm not suggesting you don't color outside the lines, because it would be really boring to just churn out these formulaic stories. Understanding your book is about connecting to your audience and helping your audience find you.
Knowing the genre is a marketing tool. If you want people to read your book, they need to know about it. And they can't know about it if you're searching in the wrong places.
But on your first draft, when you're still discovering each of those elements and how you interact with your characters and how your characters interact with the world and how problems get solved. It's more important than even knowing what genre you're writing in to just
write selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writingroots@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. 1 Samuel chapter 17.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses. And today we are talking about basically just people, but magically bigger people.
That would be the giants. Now, we're not talking about Andre the Giant, giants, not people who are just incredibly tall. We are talking about actual mythical creatures, legends, tales of races of tall people.
Across the world, a lot of cultures show tall people as powerful people. I believe there are two different Shinto emperors who are reported to have been more than 10 feet tall. So at first sight, if your hero is encountering a giant, they can be very intimidated without even talking to or encountering physically.
So when we're talking about these mythical giants, the biggest thing about them in most legends is that they're basically people, but big. They are sometimes slower, less intelligent, but always strong.
And I've found cannibalism is something that we see a lot of, or at least eating humans in some way. You know, grind your bones for bread kind of a mantra. We see that in a couple of different giant stories around the world.
I have a hard time siding with Jack on the Jack and the Beanstalk story. What would you do if somebody invaded your house and stole your stuff?
Probably exactly the same thing.
So let's get into some examples of giant or large, intimidating, strong creatures. Of course, you have your trolls and your ogres and your orcs.
A lot of the references to giants are an alternate race, similar to elves and dwarves, where they are human-like, but not. They aren't exactly gods. They aren't demonic in any way. They're mostly just a different kind of people.
In Norse mythology, you have the Jotuns.
And to be clear, the Avengers mythology as well.
Of course, the frost giants from Jotunheim are very based on this race of giants in Norse mythology.
There was a carving that was dated to about the 10th century AD of, I'm not going to try to pronounce her name because I'm going to butcher it, but one of the Jotun riding a dog like a horse, might have been a wolf, and she had like reins on it, but the reins were made of snakes. It was a very interesting depiction of, because most of the time when we see giants, we don't see them using tools in that kind of a sophisticated way. It's mostly like a club and smash Harry Potter in the bathroom. And of course, heading south to the Middle East, the Judeo-Christian history, we have the Philistines, which our opener was referencing, these gigantic warrior-type people.
Even if you aren't super familiar with the Judeo-Christian beliefs, you likely have heard the term Goliath. You've heard that and know that it references a giant, a huge human that is not easily defeated. So if we want to go down under to Australia, there is an oral tradition of a giant known as Crooked Mick.
If you're listening from the U.S., you probably know who Paul Bunyan is. Crooked Mick is like Paul Bunyan, but cooler. Not only does he like chop down stuff and shear sheep and such, but he makes great pies, apparently.
Not only are his pies good, but they are light. So light that a gust of wind can carry them away. And not only are pies getting carried away, if he kicks a crocodile, he can send it to the moon. I love this, and it's just so much fun that you've just got this, like, Australian bushman that's going out there kicking crocodiles and baking pies.
So you want to look that one up? That's Crooked Mick.
And then, of course, you have a giant that is super familiar because of its prominence in Greek and Roman tradition, and that's the Cyclops.
He's also familiar because he's the dude with one eye. Which is interesting because most of the depictions I see of the Cyclops, he has the holes in the face in a normal where humans would have eyes, but they're just sort of skinned over, and then he has a third eye at the top of the center of the forehead. I always thought that was weird. It wasn't like they were, like, merged, you know?
I'm just picturing the Cyclops and Hercules, the Disney animated version, where it's just, like, one big eye that's, like, half his face in the middle of his forehead. He has a very tall forehead as a result.
Most of the ones we've talked about so far are enemies of humans in some way.
Except for Crooked Mick. He's saving them from the crocodiles.
Okay, that's fair. I am talking about the Gentile, I believe it's pronounced. These are a race of giants found in the northern parts of Spain, close to where it meets France, in that little bay there. They existed, and they basically just hung out with the humans, and they were really known for their ability to throw rocks, and that's how a bunch of the little islands off the coast were formed. But they were said to have lived alongside the Basque people at one point.
They were also said to have invented metallurgy, the saw, and grew the first wheat, and then taught the humans how to farm.
Most of them disappeared when the comet flew across the sky around the same time that Christ was born. That was sort of a harbinger for them to go, okay, it's bedtime, and they basically just went and lived under a mountain. And of a lot of the giants we find, these ones are furry, they're hairier, until we get into more modern mythology and cryptozoology.
Fun cryptozoology. If we want to go a little coastal islander, in Fijian mythology, there is a giant who is so large that his teeth looked like they were burning logs. And that is why his name is Flaming Teeth.
So he basically tortured the humans in the village for so long that a bunch of warriors went, lured him under a big rock, and then pushed it over on him. He died, and his teeth were brought back to the village, which brought fire to the humans.
Fascinating. And then if we go to Eastern Asian cultures and mythologies, the Hindu and Buddhist cultures have the Rakshasas, and they were depicted as shape-shifting, fierce-looking, enormous creatures with two fangs that protruded from the top of their mouth.
They have a lot of similarities between them and a lot of the vampire mythology. Oh. The shape-shifting, the eating people, needing to be invited into a building. These are all Rakshasa tropes that also appear with vampires, which we'll talk about in 3 episodes.
Yes.
These ones are a little strange because I didn't necessarily want to put shapeshifters in with giants because giants are naturally large creatures, and these ones can appear humanoid, but they are described as giant, larger than, scarier than humans. And with a lot more magical abilities than most giants we're going to see. And again, eating people is a thing.
So let's look into the literature and references to giants in fiction as we know it today in modern ages.
Of course, from Jonathan Swift's Gulliver's Travels, we have the Brobdingnag, which is a giant, and opposite the Lilliputians, which are the tiny people we talked about a couple episodes ago.
And Gulliver's, like, the normal-sized person in the middle?
Yep.
Okay.
But if you're younger and you're looking for it, Roald Dahl has the BFG.
Big Friendly Giant. One of my favorites is actually Fezzik from The Princess Bride. Absolutely love him. So great. And then the classic example, the Cyclops from Odyssey.
And the last one I just want to touch on, because I think this is how most people are familiar with giants and trolls and half-giants and such, is Harry Potter. we see trolls in the first book, and then one of the closest friends of the main characters is half-giant.
Yeah, and in Harry Potter, the half-giants are especially considered, looked down on as lesser beings because of their mixed race.
So if I'm being plagued by a giant, how do I take it down?
Just make them fall over.
Okay. Crushing under their own weight. We see this a couple of different ways. We see that, of course, in Mickey Mouse had some of that. And I think the most classic version is Jack and the Beanstalk.
When he makes the giant fall off the beanstalk, chops it down while the giant's climbing down. Another thing when it comes to giants is the eyes tend to be vulnerable, especially with your cyclopses.
And I believe that's how the hero actually defeated the cyclops, was he drove a spear or a lance into the cyclops's eye.
And in general, you deal with a giant the same way you would deal with a human. They're stronger, they're bigger, but they have the same kind of vulnerabilities. Their anatomy is generally the same.
Of course, you could go with the Princess Bride logic and the Fijian logic.
The moment his head is in view, hit it with a rock!
Seemed to work for them. They have fire. And in general, most of the time, you're going to see your heroes be smarter and more agile than your giants.
D&D stats, they have better dexterity.
Yep.
I hope this information has helped you, given a few ideas about introducing a giant character or giant race into your stories.
And these are an easy one, I think, to slip in, because it's not like the Chimera, which we'll talk about next episode. Basically, everyone in your audience goes, giant, right, I have an image of that in my head. I don't need a 3-page description in order to follow the plot.
So go out, create, have fun, put giants into your story, and always
write selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writinggroups@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
People constantly make pop culture references. That's why it's called popular culture, because people are aware of it and reference it constantly. Seth Rogen.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Our question of the day is,
can I use names of copywritten material in my book? Quotes and songs, that kind of thing.
Yes and no.
Do not let your entire book be citing word-for-word Twilight. That's not going to fly.
That is copyright infringement. There are some things that you can do. We're going to talk today about the specifics. Break down what you can and can't do according to the law. Now, we are not lawyers. We are not copyright experts. If you have a question, if you're concerned about it, your best bet is to go to legal sources, not some random person on the internet who says that they know a lot about it.
So one of the questions you have to ask yourself is, do you plan on making any money with the writing? If it's fan fiction or something like that, you are not going to be allowed to make money with the writing. You can write all you want, but it's when money gets entered into the equation that these questions even come up. If you don't plan on selling your book ever, then just, you know, have fun.
Skip this episode, move on, it doesn't apply to you.
Right, selfishly.
First off, if it was written 95 years ago, so as of recording right now, if it was published before 1925, you're good to go. It's in the public domain.
What is public domain?
Public domain means that it was created so long ago that it now belongs to the public in general.
This is not to say that it's uncopywritten, because in a way it is, because you cannot take the Bible word for word and publish it and copyright it and then say no one else can write it. It is in public domain, meaning it's more or less the copyright is held by everybody. So if you're writing a fan fiction of the Canterbury Tales, where they finish the travels, go for it, have fun. but you aren't allowed to make money off of Harry Potter and J.K. Rowling's world that she's built, because that's hers. She owns the copyright. She's the one you need permission from and probably need to pay a lot of money to in order to create new content in that world.
Now, there is something to help you in this, and it's called fair use. Fair use allows the use of trademarks and certain copyrighted material under very specific circumstances. There's a couple of things that you need to consider before you can classify what you're using as fair use. I got this list from Standout Books. They're a publishing services company. And they list four things that you need to consider before you can consider your use of that copyright or trademark material under fair use. The very first is if you are using it in a commercial for-profit situation, or if it is educational and or valuable in some way to humankind as a whole. Valuable to you is not valuable as a whole.
That goes back to what we started the episode with. Are you making money on it? Because that needs to come into consideration.
You also need to consider the nature of the copyrighted work and what it is that you're referencing. You cannot take, like we said, the entire script of Twilight and publish it yourself. Because that goes into the next part, is the amount of text that you are referencing. A little bit here and a little bit there is fine. Entire chunks, not so much.
Yeah, I can't copyright the word the. That's too small of an amount to limit the rest of the world from using that particular tool in their storytelling.
And the final thing is you have to consider what the effect will be on the original copyrighted work in its potential market value, which is why you can't just republish something that somebody's already written, because that directly affects their potential in the market.
So if I have a character who's 11 years old and he has a lightning scar and he discovers he's a wizard, there's going to be some issues there. If I have a character who's 11 years old and he's riding a bicycle and he flips over the top of the bicycle and he goes face first into the gravel and he ends up with a lightning scar on his head and one of the friends goes, you look like Harry Potter. And that's the end of it. That is not impacting J.K. Rowling at all, because your characters are just making a pop culture reference.
So let's break down some more of the rules in fair use and go specifically into what can and can't be used. As I mentioned briefly, many of the rules depend on how much content you include. Having a single name, like Wonder Woman, doesn't really matter. If I include a scene from the new Wonder Woman movie, word for word, verbatim, there's going to be problems.
If you're writing a nonfiction, citing sources can get a little messy. Having that bibliography at the end should help, but
there is a fine line between citing a source and straight-up plagiarism. You can cite a source, summarize, include a quote, make sure it's short, and you're fine. If you copy an entire page, if you copy even an entire paragraph, it starts to get sketchy.
A lot of that comes down to, are you claiming it as your own? If you are giving credit where credit is due, you can argue a reasonable effort. Again, consult your lawyer if this is where you are.
Especially if you are writing a nonfiction that is meant to be educational, you have a lot more freedoms under the fair use ability. Let's move on to songs.
Don't.
You can't just list the lyrics of a song. I don't care how important you think it is to your story. If it is a copyrighted song, you can't just list the lyrics and have it be part of your script. You can reference the song or the artist and say, that person is listening to this. For an example, John Green in the book Paper Towns they were shouting along to a song by the Mountain Goats. So they have this reference in there to a real band that made a real song, and that's okay, because it's a reference that directs the reader to that, and it doesn't take away somebody's ability to enjoy that song by the Mountain Goats.
Okay. We said never under any circumstances. If you have way too much money lying around, one, make sure you visit our Patreon page, and two, you can go to the artist and say, hey, do I have permission to use these particular lyrics and I'll pay you this much money? There are an enormous amount of other issues that come with that that I am not qualified to inform you on. It is physically possible, but...
Yes, it's a lot easier to do small references. Now, we mentioned briefly earlier fan fictions. Fan fictions are a huge, huge source for how people get started writing.
I believe it was Neil Gaiman started with a Lovecraft-Sherlock Holmes fanfiction mashup thing.
Now, if you take a look at a book like Ready Player One, is that classified as a fanfiction? There's references and everything everywhere in there.
Not technically a fanfiction. They are really close to a lot of those lines, but the characters and the world are themselves.
Yes. And that is a very good example of this fair use idea, where you can use pop culture references everywhere. Just like our quote at the beginning from Seth Rogen, pop culture references exist because people reference them everywhere. So it's totally plausible to have these references in your book without having to get permission from the author. You can't use their material exactly, but you can say she was in her Wonder Woman pajamas.
So, I've seen Blue Harvest, and I've seen Spaceballs. These are parodies, they're satires. Am I allowed to do that in my own writing?
Of course. According to the same website that I listed earlier, Standout Books, they say, quote, parody is only a legal defense if your parody is sufficiently transformative. So it has to be different enough. If you aren't changing the original base for your satire and parody enough, then you could be in serious trouble.
So what about people that actually exist? Can I say my main love interest looks like a beat up Orlando Bloom?
Yes. The danger here is, yes, you can use names of real people, but you have to be careful of how you use them, because you can open yourself up to libel and defamation lawsuits if you are throwing these names under the bus. If they are a real person and you're accusing them of bad things, that's a really big problem.
Which is especially scary, not just for celebrities, but if you're writing an autobiography. You're much better off in not just referencing people, but everything, to make up a name that's similar and go with that.
And all you have to do in that case is at the beginning say some names, some circumstances have been changed to protect the privacy of those involved. So to kind of sum up what we've talked about in this episode, I know it's a lot of legalese that we just kind of threw at you. Yes, you can reference things. You can reference people, you can reference books, you can reference pop culture in general. That is perfectly okay. You cannot use entire characters, you can't use entire passages, you can't defame anything of a copyrighted work in your book if you're using it for profit.
But in the end, I just enjoy writing. I enjoy telling the story, I enjoy setting up the plot and putting my characters through terrible things, because in the first draft, what I always do and what you should really do is just
write selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writingroots@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
A Moment in History by KCNR Radio. The first reference to Shasta was made in 1814 by British explorer and fur trapper Alexander Henry, who wrote about the Shasta tribe of Indians living on the mountain. Another version suggests that Shasta is a corruption of the Russian word Tashel, meaning white or pure mountain.
Russian fur trappers were in the area from 1812 to 1842. In 1827, Hudson Bay's company, brigade leader Peter Skeen Ogden, wrote in his diary, "I have named this river Sasteen River. There is a mountain equal in height to Mount Hood or Vancouver. I have named it Mount Sasteen." In later years, the words Shasti, Sastis, Chasta, Chastala, Sasti, and Sasti, or several more, were used, all references to Mount Shasta. Mail to the early Shasta residents arrived addressed to Shastea, Sasti, Sasta, and Shasti. This was contributed by Dottie Smith.
Wherever the art of medicine is loved, there is also a love of humanity. Hippocrates.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Joining us today is Lorraine Woodworth, a nurse. Welcome, Lorraine.
How do you do? Nice to be here.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
The best investment.